Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for our radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those tuning in through online affiliates around the world, we appreciate you all being with us, as well as those tuning in via the podcast. We're glad you all could join us as well. Well, as you guys know, I love being able to talk history on our program. And today we're talking about the role of the black banking system and how it was more than just about finances. It really was about being an impact in the community. And we have the perfect guest here to be able to talk about this. He's the author of a new book called A Great Moral and Social Force. We're excited to welcome Mr. Tim Todd to our program today. We're going to talk to Mr. Todd not only about the writing of the book, but also the history he was able to gather, the pictures you guys will be able to see in the book, and I think the great lessons for all of us as we begin to think about the role of banking today. If you all are just now finding out about the book, of course, we'll let you know how to be able to read it for yourself. Mr. Todd, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be joining you this morning.
Well, when our mutual friend Yona of Riverchild Media told me about this book, I was fascinated because I have to admit, I knew very little about the origins of black banks and, of course, the role that they played. And you've been able to kind of gather this for us and how from city to city the impact was felt. I want to talk about that first for you. Now that the book is out, what has that been like for you to see people to discover this history and the importance of it?
From my perspective, it's been just an absolutely great experience. This is a history that I guess you would say I sort of stumbled across it. I do banking research and financial services research, and from time to time I would come across a small article maybe in an old newspaper or some other type of publication that would mention a black-owned bank in a community somewhere in the United States, often in the early 1900s. And I just wanted to know more about them. It seemed like there were some very fascinating stories, and I wanted to go out and see what I could find. And no one else had really told their stories before. So that led me to sort of dig in and try to uncover this this interesting history.
And I think, too, even though there are some names, as I was reading the book, Mr. Todd, there's some names, of course, we are familiar with, like Frederick Douglass and others. I don't think we think about banking typically when we think of them and their role that they were able to have, not only, of course, in trying to help to blacks to have equality, but also education as well. Is that also something that you're finding, that we're looking at some of these historical figures in a different light?
Oh, definitely. I think one of the things, you know, when people think of a bank, you know, they think of a business or a financial institution, but really across history, black-owned banks have played an important role in all sorts of ways of community leadership, helping to sort of not just develop a community economically, but build pride within that community, have very far-reaching ramifications for communities all across the United States.
So let's go back to how this all started. I mean, when it comes to this history, especially the role of the black bank in the community and the impact of morale even, Mr. Todd, how did this all begin for you?
So this really began for me when I was doing research on other financial institutions as a part of my regular job at the Federal Reserve, and sort of wanting to know more about a little bit I had learned about black-owned banks and going out and sort of uncovering that history. It wasn't, I say it wasn't a forgotten history, but it was definitely a scattered history. And so it took quite a bit of digging. We were fortunate to have assistance from folks with that and being able to bring these histories together and tell these stories. We also felt it was important to tell the stories within the times that these banks did business and sort of some of the other cultural issues that were having an impact on their communities and how the banks were involved.
And we're talking about communities definitely in different cities throughout this country. And, of course, the country itself was dealing with its own troubles as well. What was that like for you to see how the backdrop of what was happening in the country at that time, Mr. Todd, kind of impacted the roles of these banks?
Well, I think the thing that was interesting to me is if you look at a bank, if you look at Tri-State Bank, for instance, in Memphis, you know, people generally think of a bank, as I said earlier, sort of just a financial institution, but Tri-State is hugely involved in a leadership role throughout the civil rights era. And so that's doing things like, you know, if someone gets arrested because they've been at a protest and that bank was helping to post bail or bond to get those people out, it was actually organizing some events there. And Tri-State also did things. There was some a cutoff of banking services for many Black individuals and families living in actually in northern Mississippi. And Tri-State actually organized an effort to help those families and lend and provide those people with funding. So you definitely see them involved in a lot of different ways other than, you know, just sort of doing that, what people think of as the business of banking.
And the other interesting parallel, or maybe not very good, but I'll go with this, is that it seems like from the book that there was more of an appreciation of the power of finance and the role. Does it surprise you when you kind of look at where we are today and how there may not be the seriousness there from the majority about the importance of banking, investing, and being able to have that type of network there together that has ties to finances?
Yeah, so banks were looked at very differently across much of the history that we uncovered than they are looked at today. So it's important to keep in mind before the mid-1930s, you didn't have, for example, deposit insurance, right? So if a bank failed, you were gonna lose whatever you had saved there in your account. So people were perhaps a bit more engaged in sort of looking at their bank and understanding what their bank was doing and how they were lending money and things like that than might be the case today. And so it was just a different type of landscape at that time. And definitely with these bankers, and something you even see today with small, what we call community banks, is being heavily engaged in the community of their depositors and the people who are borrowing money and understanding the issues within their community and doing things with community leadership, hugely important throughout this history with pretty much all the banks that we look at.
And speaking of more modern history, you even talk about Michael Rinder. Talk about his role and the work he has been able to do, and what was it like for you to profile that?
Yeah, so there's an effort underway currently that he's involved with. There's some others involved with it, creating something called Greenwood, which is an online financial services provider. And Michael, people may know him more as under his professional name, I guess, of Killer Mike. But he has been pushing the issue of Black access to financial services and Bank Black. He talks about this issue quite a bit. What he's developing is an online system that's actually working through another bank where people can deposit their money. It's not evolved yet into a full bank, but he's definitely been one of the most vocal names out there in recent years. And so I think it's kind of interesting right now as we sort of look at the landscape of trying to determine if some of these online virtual banks and app-based banks, how they're going to be able to serve a community versus I remain probably a bit old-fashioned, and I like a brick-and-mortar building in a community because I think there's a lot of spillover effects there in community leadership. They're hugely important. It's good to have the bank right there. The banker knows, for example, if the neighborhood needs a restaurant or a grocery store and someone comes in and wants to borrow that money, the banker can be really involved in that community. And I'm not convinced that is possible with some of the online efforts, but we'll see.
Interesting. Well, I tell you, it really brings it right to the fore. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome to our program today Mr. Tim Tide. We're talking to him not only about his book released this year, A Great Moral and Social Force, A History of Black Banks, but also how it really does, as you can tell from this conversation, really does show how the way that the bank operates or has operated over the years has evolved. The roles of it definitely have evolved as well. And what we can learn from this history, for those joining us on the podcast, if you guys did come in late, miss part of this chat, don't worry. The podcast link will be available as well as those tuning in on the radio side. I'll remind you of that a little bit later. What surprised you the most? As you mentioned your work, of course, with the Fed, Mr. Tide, what surprised you the most about this history that you were able to uncover and to share?
You know, I think the thing that surprised me the most is when I started on this project, I had read a number of articles that talked about or had basically suggested there wasn't a vibrant history of the Black community engaged in financial services. And we went out and found that was very much not the case. I think there had been sort of a popular misconception out there that You had the government created Freedmen's Bank, which some people may be familiar with, and it did some things after the Civil War. It ended up failing. It was horrible for the people who had money saved with it, but a lot of people sort of looked at that bank and assumed that there hadn't been a lot that had happened in the years that followed. And we went out and found not only histories of a number of banks, but also some interesting trends, particularly if you look at times when there's a lot of social activism, you would see more interest in creating some of these banks. And so you saw that in the civil rights era. And I'm hopeful these banks are getting a lot more attention today. And so I'm hopeful we're going to start forward on another period where we're going to see some expansion.
Speaking of shedding a light, one thing that also surprised me that I did not expect were the photos of some of the individuals that we were reading about. What was that like for you to help to gather, to literally give a face to these names we may have heard of, and to be able to really give them another place in history as well?
You know, to me, that part of it is hugely important because a lot of these history of a lot of these individuals has sort of been tucked away in old newspapers or articles or other documents. It felt very important to make sure we told their stories as completely as possible, recognizing that this is how people will likely encounter these individuals in their life stories. So we worked really hard to tell those stories accurately and to make sure to every situation we could that we got their photo in there. And we're very fortunate. I work with an archivist who does a lot of work, and she's really, really an expert at finding these things. And we reached out to universities and local community organizations and archives in different communities to be able to get these photos. So that was definitely a big part of the project.
You mentioned in the book, Mr. Todd, that part of what you wanted to do in writing this and presenting this was to try to, as in your words, to foster a dialogue focused on achieving improved outcomes. What does that look like for you, and what do you hope that means for the reader and for those who are looking at this topic?
So one of the things that my bosses at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City believe is that understanding our history is very important as we think about some of the problems and issues we face today. And so that was one of the reasons they really got on board with this project. And so I think there's some things from this history that hopefully people can take from that and further the discussion. And those relate to things, again, about that community leadership role, about, you know, what does a big bank do? What can a community-sized bank do? But I think one of the biggest things that I talk about or that I feel very strongly about is looking at increasing diversity across the banking sector. And so that's, you know, I'm pointing the finger at everybody from the people I work with at the Federal Reserve and the other banking regulators to the established very large banks to smaller community banks of all types. How can we increase diversity within financial services? Because I think that's really important as we think about, you know, if someone's going to come in and want to deposit their money, it's making sure that they feel comfortable coming into that bank. And so they need to reflect the community that they're serving. So I believe very strongly in that. And I also think it's important with people deposit their money in a bank that they make a very thoughtful choice there as well, and recognize, you know, that bank, you're basically creating an opportunity for someone when you have a savings account, because a bank is going to use that money and lend it back out. And so to think about, you know, is this a bank that's lending to the individuals and businesses that I care about, or is it lending money in some other part of the community or even some other part of the United States? And so I think it's important to think about those things.
I didn't mention this to you when we were talking before the segment began, Mr. Todd, but I'm curious because of what you just said. Considering what's happening in the country right now, or really around the world, and the way people are thinking about finances, are you optimistic that people are becoming more knowledgeable as to how their money is operating, how their money is working, and the importance of that knowledge?
I do think people are a little more attentive, a little more plugged in right now as they think about these things, but I also have some concerns. One of my counterparts here at the Kansas City Fed, Terry Bradford, recently did some research on the number of Black Americans investing in cryptocurrencies. It is a greater percentage than white Americans, and she published that research. You can find it on our website at kansascityfed.org, and she goes into some of the risks there. So some of these things concern me, but I do feel like people are more engaged right now.
Yeah. It's an important conversation for sure, and I want our audience to remember that website, KansasCityFed.org, because it's also where you can read A Great Moral and Social Force. So definitely take advantage of that. And Mr. Todd, I really do appreciate this time. I appreciate you writing this book. Is that website, is it the best place for them to stay connected with you as well?
Yeah, you can go to that website, and you can actually order a printed copy of the book and a book we published on some earlier history of black banks called Let Us Put Our Money Together. You can request those books there, and we will send them to you free of charge. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Timothy Todd, and on there I'm posting about some of the current news and some of the current developments, like things about cryptocurrency and how black banks are doing, performing across the United States. So that's a good place to follow me as well.
All right. Well, Mr. Todd, congratulations to you again on the book. Really appreciate the time today, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Hey, I appreciate it very much. Thanks.
And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live here on your community station in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.